everybody. This is Audrey Lanford, and I'm really pleased today to welcome you all. Today we have a wonderful guest, Dr. Paul Hartunian, who also happens to be a very close friend of mine. And I think you're going to see why I'm particularly excited about today's teleconference call. Paul is probably best known as the guy who sold the Brooklyn Bridge. And yes, he really did sell the Brooklyn Bridge, and he's going to share that story with us in a little bit. Paul is also a whiz at showing people how they can get mountains of free publicity for their online and their offline businesses. And he's actually the person we learned many years ago how to get publicity from. And we've been using his techniques for many years very, very successfully. He's shown thousands of other people as well how to use publicity to make sales, to get leads, and to rocket their businesses to very high levels, and even to become celebrities. And one of the things that's really great is his techniques don't require any special skills, any insider contacts, and, in fact, almost no money. Paul has been a guest on so many shows, including Phil Donahue, Jenny Jones, To Tell the Truth, Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, Smart Money, CNN, Forbes, and the list goes on and on. He's also an autograph expert, as well as an expert on dating and relationships. And he's been very successful, making what most people would consider a very good living on eBay in just a few hours a month. Today, we're going to talk about the secrets of the universe. So I hope that gets everybody's attention. In fact, we're going to do something very different in this teleseminar. We're going to talk about some of the ways that Paul has been able to achieve exceptional results year after year. So I'm going to ask Paul to share with you his perspective and his secrets on a whole variety of topics instead of just focusing on one thing today, things that have led him to be super successful, regardless at some times in spite of the economy. So he's going to give you very specific advice on a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm really excited about this particular teleseminar. So, Paul, welcome.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you very much.
It's really great to have you here. Before we get going, I'd like to ask everybody who is not driving to take out a pen and paper, and as you listen, please write down the things that we talk about that you can apply to your business and how you can apply them. Because the only way that this is going to make a difference to you is if you take action on the things that we're talking about. So get out your pens and paper, and then we're set to go here. Well, Paul, I just simply cannot resist. Let's start with, what are the secrets of the universe? I have no idea the answer to this one.
Why don't you start with a big question, Audrey?
I think that's a good idea.
I love that title, The Secrets of the Universe, because it conjures up this enormous vision. Like, we're going to be talking about huge things. We're not going to be talking just about one state or one country or even a planet. We're going to talk about the whole universe, and we're going to solve the secrets of the universe. And really, it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek because the secrets of the universe are the same as the secrets of France or the United States or North Carolina or New Jersey or Paul or Audrey or the person down the street. They're all the same. So what we're going to be talking about today are the basics that make everything operate, whether it's the universe, whether it's your business, whether it's anything that we're talking about. And you'll see that these are standards. They work all the time. They work forever, and they'll work forever into the future. They are indeed the secrets of the universe.
Well, that sounds exciting. Does this have anything to do with chocolate? I couldn't resist. Go ahead. Tell us the secrets of the universe.
We went from the secrets of the universe to Hershey. Wow. We're going to find that the rules that we're talking about are so basic. And I'm going to wonder, I've wondered probably for the last 30 years, why people don't follow these rules. Why they don't believe them. Why don't they don't put them into action in their own lives, because when they do, they'll see that they work in their lives, they work in their business, they work in politics, they work in religion, they work in business, they work in economy, they work in just about everything that affects our lives.
Wow. So you want to start?
Sure. If we consider, for example, some of the things that we want to do. We're going to talk about business today, but I'm also going to be talking about another field I'm very actively involved in, and that's teaching in the medical field, teaching in the health professions and in medicine. So I'll kind of flip back and forth, and I'll do that very intentionally, because when I talk about medicine, people can understand that because it deals with their own lives. But then I'll take the same example, and then we will flip it over to business.
That's right.
Yeah. So where would you like to start?
Well, I'm definitely interested in learning some of these secrets of the universe.
Okay. Why don't we start with where I started, about 20 years ago. And I picked 20 years ago because that was the moment that I can point to that changed my life forever. And I don't mean that the way people toss it away. They say, oh, this changed my life. You know, I saw this TV show and it changed my life. Well, I don't think so. It probably was just a very good TV show. But in 1983, you mentioned the thing that I'm probably most well known for, and that is the Brooklyn Bridge, selling the Brooklyn Bridge. That was a coincidence in some ways, but it also followed what I had been leading up to. I had been perfecting my publicity formula, and by that I mean I had been trying to get publicity the way other people had been trying to, but it wasn't working. So I knew something was wrong. For most of my life, I've been a contrarian, and I still am very much, probably more than ever, I'm a contrarian today, a contrarian in business, a contrarian in investing, in most aspects of my life. So I knew I had to come up with a different way of getting publicity, and I pretty much had fine-tuned that, but I had to prove that it worked. And by pure coincidence, in 1983, the Brooklyn Bridge was 100 years old. And I happened to turn TV on, again, purely coincidentally, and I saw that the Brooklyn Bridge was being renovated in honor of its 100th birthday. And the original pedestrian walkway, the wooden walkway, where people walked across the bridge, was being removed and being replaced. And one of the construction workers was being interviewed. Behind him was the wood that was being removed from the Brooklyn Bridge. As soon as I saw that, I knew several things. I knew, number one, that I had my test. This is what I was going to be able to test my publicity formula on. And number two, my life would never again be the same. It was so clear to me. So what I did was I took my publicity formula and I contacted this construction work that I saw on TV. I made a deal to buy the wood from the Brooklyn Bridge. Now, some people are saying, what are you going to do with scrap wood? This is old junk wood. I made arrangements to have it cut into one-inch squares and placed on certificates. I used the publicity formula to write a press release about the first person in history to really, truly be selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And I was selling it for $14.95 per square inch.
I love this story. I've heard this at least 20 times, and every time I hear it, go on, this is so great.
To say that there was an avalanche of media response would be very conservative indeed. For at least 6 months, everywhere I turned, media people wanted to do the story of the first guy to really be selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And I put these pieces of wood on a nice certificate that I had designed. I'm not an artist. It was a very crude design, but a graphics person here was able to make it look very attractive. And I put some history of the Brooklyn Bridge on there. And then I put the words that really changed my life on the certificate. I said, attached to this certificate is a genuine piece of the world-famous Brooklyn Bridge. You just bought the Brooklyn Bridge. You own the Brooklyn Bridge. The biggest joke in history. And now I was making it available to anyone around the world. So for 6 months, media people were running the story. Literally thousands of media people covered that story. Radio, TV, newspapers, magazines. And the real kicker here was every time they would run the story, they would say, if you would like to own a piece of the Brooklyn Bridge, just send $14.95 to me. And Audrey, as you can guess, I sold one or two pieces of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, I think you sold one or two, I believe.
That clearly made my first literal fortune, made me a quote-unquote celebrity very, very quickly, and has set the path for the rest of my life.
You know, it's interesting because there must have been tens of thousands of people who saw that same story you did on TV. but you looked at it differently, and it literally changed your life. You saw opportunity where other people just saw some guy being interviewed about redoing the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right. And the reason that I took action on that is, number one, I was ready for it. I was looking for this opportunity. I certainly wasn't looking for the Brooklyn Bridge, but I was looking for opportunity. So as it was coming down the road, I was aware of every opportunity going by. And I know the saying, opportunity only knocks once. Well, that is total nonsense. Opportunity pounds on the door. It's constantly pounding on the door, and it will knock you over. All you have to do is open the door.
That's a great lesson. What other lessons can we learn from this story?
It's now 20 years later. It's going on 20 years later. And I've learned so many lessons. I continue to learn lessons from that Brooklyn Bridge story. One, obviously, is take action. Number two is I learned so clearly that just one step, one action, one idea can change your life, can bring you more money, more fame, more recognition than you ever imagined possible. And as I moved along over these 20 years, I spoke to a lot of other people who've made it really big. And that was one of the things that we all agreed on. Just one thing changed forever, and we were there doing that thing. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying do one thing. For example, when people buy lottery tickets, they hope that that one lottery ticket will win. No, keep buying lottery tickets. I don't think that's a great idea, but you've got to keep putting the lines in the water. This was not my first idea. I don't know what number it was. It could have been my 533rd idea. I just don't know. But it was the idea that did it. But I kept on putting lines in the water, and I kept swinging at the ball, and finally I hit the home run.
That's great. And I know one of the other things about this is that, you know, tell the story about how Johnny Carson, you know, you had some very small paper or radio story that was going on in some very small little place, and they thought.
Right, right. Actually, I had been getting media coverage for 6 months at the time, and the media coverage started dying down, and I thought this story was over, the Brooklyn Bridge story was over. But I proved what I wanted to prove, that I had this unique publicity formula. And if I have another story, all I have to do is basically plug into this formula and get lots of publicity again. What I did not know was the story about the Brooklyn Bridge appeared in Johnny Carson's hometown newspaper, and as I recall, I think he lived in Nebraska at the time. And he happened to see the story in the Nebraska newspaper. And he contacted me about 6 months after the story broke, and he was just curious about what was going on, because apparently he had seen it in other newspapers or maybe heard it on radio shows. And he asked to see some of the certificates, the Brooklyn Bridge certificates. So I sent him the certificates. And in the meantime, I had come up with another series, pieces of Abraham Lincoln's law office and Yankee Stadium and the White House and a series of certificates. So I sent them to him. And probably another 3 months went by. I forgot completely that I had sent him the certificates. And then a woman from the Johnny Carson show said, Johnny's going to do a little bit on your Brooklyn Bridge thing tonight. We thought you might want to see it. I turned it on expecting to see my little 15 seconds of fame there. And it turned out to be almost 10 minutes of Johnny Carson doing a parody of my whole Brooklyn Bridge thing, the way he used to with Ed McMahon. He then held up the certificates, talked about them, made little jokes about them, and was plugging them like crazy. And Audrey, as you can imagine, you can't even buy that kind of publicity.
There was
another avalanche of publicity after that, and more pieces of the Brooklyn Bridge sold. So yes, I sold a lot of the Brooklyn Bridge, and yes, it was a cute little pet rock idea, but more importantly, I knew that I struck gold in this publicity formula. And then I used that same formula, and thousands of people have used the formula in other businesses. So I don't want anyone to think that this was a fluke. This was just some cute little pet rock. It was. That one thing was a cute little pet rock idea. But now we have a formula that we can follow over and over and over and get great results.
That's great. Well, I'm going to shift this a little bit now, because one of my favorite articles that you've written, we wound up publishing in our ebook, 43 Specific Ways to Make 2002 Your Best Most Profitable Year Ever. And in it you say you found the magic pill. And so I'd like you to just tell us a little bit about that, because the magic pill also has to be part of the secrets of the universe.
Yes. In fact, it's one of the major secrets. If I were to narrow it down just to a few, this magic pill would be right there near the top, if not at the top. I was having lunch with a friend that I had known for quite a number of years, and this is a friend who has pretty much everything. He's a very sharp guy, very intelligent, creative. He has great skills in putting together products. He's motivated. He's got a lot going for him. And we were having lunch, and he was complaining that he had financial problems and he had problems with business. And I was a little baffled because I'd known him for so long. I know he's got a great work ethic. And, in fact, my work ethic, frankly, is fairly poor. And I'm not saying that for the benefit of this interview. That's the truth. I would much rather be playing with my dogs or doing something else than working. So what was the difference? How is it that he had all of what we are led to believe are the attributes that you need, and I had very few of them, but financially I was so far ahead of him, I had pretty much everything I wanted. I love cerebral lightning bolts. I call them cerebral lightning bolts, where this lightning bolt just hits you right in the brain and clarifies something for you. After our lunch, I thought about this. In fact, I was pretty much focused on it all during that day. And I said, what could it be that I have that he doesn't have? And actually, the word focus is the answer. I've got focus. And he was not focused. And I recalled what he was saying during lunch. He was going from topic to topic. Maybe I should sell this product, or maybe this one, or maybe this one. And I realized he wasn't focusing on one thing. Pick one product. Market that product. Keep moving ahead with that product. If it doesn't work, go to another product. And I realized that lots of people are doing that. When I speak at seminars, I hear lots of people saying, but I have so many products I want to sell. What do I do first? Pick anyone. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. Just pick one. And then focus on that and put all your effort into that. And I saw that when people have focus, not only in marketing, but in their own lives, their lives are remarkably different. I am very active in the medical field, and I have been probably for 25 or 30 years. And I would see patients who focused on their treatment and their care. And these are the people who survived against enormous odds. But then there were patients who had conditions that were nowhere nearly as serious, and they wound up either getting worse or dying because they couldn't get to their treatments on time. They couldn't take their treatments on time. They couldn't focus on what was going on, and they suffered. So there it is. It was focus, and that is a huge difference in my life and in many lives of many successful people.
Well, I think I'd have to agree with you. I mean, the one thing, we know some of the same people, certainly, and you know, if I think about my friends and the people who have been very successful, who are, you know, among my friends and versus those who are not, that really is the key difference. It has nothing to do with intelligence or with, you know, where you start or with anything else. It has to do with being able to focus on something and make it happen.
That's right. And I'm glad you mentioned intelligence in there also, because people are led to believe that the more degrees you have or the higher you climb on the education ladder, the more successful you're supposed to be. Well, you and I both know that that is one of the farthest things from the truth.
Yes. PhD piles higher and deeper, right?
Yeah, that's it.
We both have those. Okay. In that same article, you describe the fastest and safest way to achieve the results you want. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? You kind of hinted at it, but I think it would be good to hear a little bit more about that.
Good. And this is one of the places where I'll mention medicine, and then I'll go right into business. In medicine, there is a technique called modeling, and I am a strong proponent, a strong advocate of modeling, and lots of people in the medical field are strong advocates of modeling. Modeling simply means find someone who has done what you want to do. They've already accomplished what you want to accomplish, and then do exactly what they did. Now, how is modeling used in medicine? For example, pancreatic cancer is a very serious disease. There's about a 1% survival rate. So people who have pancreatic cancer are told, find someone who survived pancreatic cancer. They must know something and do what they did. That at least will improve your odds. In business now and in life, why spend so much time reinventing the wheel, trying to beat a brand new path when people have already accomplished what you want to accomplish? How did they get there? How did they become number one on a bestseller list, for example, with their book? How did they grow a business to $25 million? Follow what they did. Find out what they did. If you can get them as a mentor, great. It will shortcut things incredibly. I know that when I want to do something, I find someone who's already done it, and I very quickly offer to reward them in some way. I offer to pay them. I find out what they want in life. I offer to try to get what they want in life. Maybe I know people that they want to know, and I'll make a deal. If you show me how you did this, I'll connect you with these people, or I'll pay you. What's your daily rate? $7,000? Here's my checkbook. I want to know what you know, because I know at the end of this day, I will know at least what you know, and now my chances of that success are tremendously increased.
That's great. And in fact, you know, that's sort of the whole point behind this series, is we're interviewing people who've been there and done that so that people can be shortcutting that process. I couldn't agree with you more. It's really, I mean, that's the way to shortcut your results, just phenomenally.
Modeling has saved me so much time. Even in the beginning, 20 years ago, I would try to model and try to cut that time down very quickly. Unfortunately, Audrey, I'll bet you do the same thing. I look at a lot of the discussion boards on the Internet, and I see people trying to reinvent this wheel. And they're not simply saying, who's an expert out there? Who can I hire to do this very quickly? They try to get things for free, and I'll mention that again later on, and they try to do things the hard, wrong way.
And we should point out, though, it doesn't necessarily cost $7,000.
No.
Very often it can be doing some kind of barter, doing something that you might have no idea that somebody else wants something that for you is so easy.
And some people may say, well, how do you find out what people want in exchange? Well, ask them. That's what I always do. And it's usually a very short discussion. I may say, Audrey, I see that you have grown a software business to this great height. I'd like to learn how you did that. What can I do for you in return? That's the simple question I ask them.
And not everybody will say yes, I'm sure, but a lot of them will.
But no one has ever slammed the door in my face, laughed at me, or anything else. They may say, I appreciate it, I'm much too busy, read my book, for example, or something else, but a lot of people have done what I've asked them.
Yeah, we've had that experience too. This is great advice. Talking of great advice, if you were going to give some advice to a really close friend of yours who is about to start a business, what exactly would you tell them that we haven't yet talked about?
Very timely question. My brother, who for the last 30 years has been a classic 9-to-5er, he's worked as a systems analyst in an insurance company, classic 9-to-5, now is finding out that he may have to go off on his own, changing the economy, changing everything. But he's looking for a business, and he's asking me the same question. The first thing I told him is, Rick, maximize your time. Now, I don't mean to use time-saving devices and things like that. That's not what I mean. By maximize your time and effort, I mean try to do one thing one time and then have it generate income for a long, long time, if not forever. For example, I put together my publicity kit. I put that together one time 5 years ago, and that same kit now has been generating income for me for years and years and will for years and years to come into the future. So try to maximize your time and efforts. There's a formula that, Audrey, you and I are both familiar with, and I want to make everyone else familiar with, and it's a standard formula in the marketing field. And the formula is basically do something, teach something, run a seminar, and I'll give you an example. Let's say that you install linoleum kitchen floors, or you are in the nail business. You do women's nails, do fingernail polish, whatever. The lowest level is you actually do it yourself. So you have customer after customer coming in and you do their nails, or you find a new customer to put a new linoleum floor down in their house. That's the lowest level. You're not maximizing your time and efforts. The next level up would be write a manual on how to run a linoleum laying business or a nail business and then sell that manual. And you can sell thousands of manuals in a short amount of time. the next level above that is run a seminar for these people who bought your manual and now give them all marketing tools, set them up, they come together. So you may do someone's nails for $20. You may sell your manual on how to run a nail business for $500. And you may run a seminar for all of these people who have your manual for $2,000. You're now maximizing your time and effort instead of singly doing one set of nails at a time.
Great. And how, do you want to give people any advice on how to pick that thing that they're going to do?
Yeah. And this is, again, going to sound like little wise guy advice, but just pick it. That's all. There is no perfect thing. So, for example, I'm not going to say, oh, you can do, if you're a plumber, you have a much higher chance of success than if you are a barber. Not at all. I speak at seminars all the time, and I spoke at a seminar, which I thought was a pretty unlikely group of people. This one person runs seminars for people who repair windshields on cars. Well, I didn't think that would be all that big a seminar, and there apparently is a big market. There's someone else there who does seminars for people who own storage facilities, the store-it-yourself facilities. So I can't pick five markets and say these are the hot five markets. If you're a plumber, if you are an accountant, instead of doing taxes one-on-one, teach accountants how to improve their practice, then run a seminar. Same thing for dentists or chiropractors. And we can go on. In almost every field, every trade, every product, you can do, use the same formula over and over again.
What would you say are the most important principles of your success that we haven't yet talked about? And can you give some examples as well?
Yeah. One that we did talk about that I'll just briefly repeat again is modeling. And I use modeling. It's one of the five top techniques that I use. But also, continuing education. And we hear this over and over. Audrey, I'm sure you do the same thing I do. I spend thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars every year on other people's products. I'm amazed at how you can buy a book for $20 and get 20 years of someone's life and experience for that $20 book. Boy, talk about cutting down your time.
Absolutely. And, of course, you're right. I mean, I don't even want to think about how much money I spend, but it's how we make money.
That's exactly
how we make money.
I can go and try to invent this thing again and have someone say, boy, you spent 4 years inventing that, and I wrote a book you could have bought for $17.95 that told you how to do it. Oh, wow, great. Also, I have no fear. We'll talk more about fear, and I talk about fear in my classes all the time. There is no such thing as fear. People make up their fears, and once you resolve that, you understand that there really is no fear. You're making it up. Go out and try things. I have a lot of lines in the water. I don't bank everything on one idea. And I see people doing this all the time. They say, for 12 years, I've been working on the next pet rock. I've spent all my money on this. I've had molds made. I've had a designer come in, and I had a patent done, and I mortgaged the house, and we're betting everything on this one product. Yikes. I'm pretty nervous for that person. Put a lot of lines in the water. The more lines you have in the water, the more fish you're likely to get.
I'm going to stop you here for a second because
yeah.
This sounds contradictory, Paul, to your concept of focus.
Yes.
So can you talk about that for a minute?
Boy, I'm glad you brought that up because people would say that. I have a lot of lines in the water, but I go to each line and I give each line its time of focus. That time may only be 10 minutes or it may be 10 days, but I'll go to this one opportunity that I'm working on or this one idea. And I will completely focus on that idea for a period of time. I will then stop. Either I'll get tired of it. I've done what I wanted to do. It's time to move on. And I'll go to the next thing. But I will just focus on that one thing at a time. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. But I thought that was really important.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Some other things that I know clearly have helped me become successful. I know when to walk away. I know when to cut my losses. I know when to turn my back and say, wow, I thought that was a great idea. I still think it's a great idea, but I guess it's not. Something in the past that people will recall in the not-too-distant past is the Enron scandal. As people there were watching the stock, I'm not talking about the employees, they were locked into their stock. But as outsiders holding Enron stock, we're watching the stock going from $90 to $80, $70, $60, $50, $40, $30, $20, $10, $9, $8, $7, $6, $5, $4, $3, $2, $1, $1, $0.50, $0.25. And they kept saying, it's going to turn around. I'm going to hold on. You've got to know when to give up and say, I got to get out. I also know that I have excellent balance between my life and my work, and that is so important. So many people get sucked up into their work. Now, if you love your work and it's real passion, great, but if your family is suffering or your vacations are suffering or the rest of your life is suffering, that just doesn't work. And the last thing I know that I mentioned earlier, in fact, I have these words taped on the wall right in front of me. Free sucks.
Elaborate on that one, please.
Now, I'm not saying I never use free things or I never get free things, but I'm not going to depend on something for free to maintain a business that is my livelihood. And on discussion boards, I see this all the time. People are saying, does somebody know where I can get some free legal advice? Yikes! Or free accounting advice. Do you know someone who can edit my book for free? Do you know where I can get a free CGI script that will run my whole business? I'm not interested. There is no such thing as a free lunch. I'm very willing to pay for it.
Especially if there's one thing you're going to pay for, it's the legal advice. That will cost you a thousand times.
You're going to pay for it either in the beginning or you're going to pay for it many times later on the end. And
absolutely.
I see this all the time. People asking for legal advice on a discussion board.
Oh, wow. I ask you a lot of questions, but it would never be legal advice, Paul.
No.
Vice versa. Okay, based on your experience, what's the single best advice you'd give someone in business today that we haven't yet talked about? To help them achieve the results they want. I mean, we've talked about so many things, and you can just say we've already covered this, but I love that question.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question, and this also is something that made a very significant change in my income, and that was specializing, become a specialist. When I was out there talking about my publicity kit to everyone and everything, sure, I sold lots of them. But when I then created template press releases for chiropractors, and I put together a little special chiropractor kit, and instead of saying how to get $1 million worth of publicity, I said how any chiropractor can get $1 million worth of publicity, all of a sudden, I was the king of the chiropractic market. Then I went to the real estate market and did the same thing. And then I went to the financial planners and did the same thing, how any financial planner can get $1 million worth of publicity for free. Specialized. And all of a sudden, you become recognized, specialized, and you're recognized.
And it's so interesting because the common myth is that when you pick a niche and you specialize, you're shrinking your market, when in fact, exactly the opposite is true.
Right, because when I was talking about publicity, people were saying, well, this is one more publicity manual, book, whatever they thought it was, and there were probably 60 of these on the bookshelves and bookstores and in the library. But I went right to the chiropractors, and that's where I started with the chiropractors, and I said, how any chiropractor can get $1 million worth of publicity. There was nothing like that, and there still is nothing like that.
Okay. And everyone, just about every person who's listening to this, can take that principle and apply it to your business.
Well, there's no doubt.
There's just no doubt.
None whatsoever. Go to, and in fact, there's a directory out there, an association directory. Just go right down the list of associations and figure out how your product, your service, your business can affect these people, how you can do business with them, and put the name of their field, an account, how any accountant can blank, how anybody can do what you're doing.
That's great. Okay, now that we've done some great advice, what's the worst advice that you think people commonly believe?
Unfortunately, we only have an hour for this interview. There is so much of it out there. I am astonished at what people will believe.
Yeah.
My master's degree is in environmental science, and I mention that because in 1990, Ted Danson, the entertainer, who I hold in nothing but contempt, in 1990, he fancied himself as the environmental spokesman of the world. And he said, and this is recorded, he said, the Earth only has 10 years left. In 10 more years, the Earth will, and humanity. humanity will cease to exist because of what we've done to the Earth. Well, Ted, it's a few years past your 10-year deadline, and it looks like we're doing darn well. But lots of people for that 10 years believed it. Probably the worst advice I've ever heard anyone give was Winston Churchill in his famous speech, the one he's so famous for. It was the shortest speech in history. He was asked to give a commencement speech. He stood up and he simply said, "Never, never, 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 never give up." And he sat down. And since that speech in the 1940s, people have held those words in such reverence. They basically worship these words as an idol. I think that's some of the worst advice ever given. It's totally ridiculous. You had better know when to give up. In medicine, I see patients who are taking treatments, and they're getting worse. You better give up. In business, I see people pouring more money into an idea, and it's not working. Know when to give up, take your losses, and move on.
In business, one of the things that, just another example of this that it always makes me cringe, but I've heard it so often, I'm sure everybody's heard it as well, which is, you run an ad and it completely doesn't work. And the person who sold your ad said, "Yes, but you've only run it once. You really have to run it, you know, five times. Five times zero is still zero."
Yeah, in class I call that my mugger example. You walk down the street and you get mugged on Monday, you get mugged on Tuesday, you get mugged on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When are you going to walk down another street?
Yeah, that's right. Everybody gets into a slump now and again. How do you get yourself out of that slump?
Good time to mention that if anybody thinks I'm here to profess my perfect life and follow everything I do, that's certainly not true. I get into slumps. I have a typical life. Like, I have the ups and downs that everyone has. Fortunately, my slumps rarely last for a long time, because as soon as I feel a slump happening, I immediately go into an action plan that I've used probably all my life. I immerse myself in positive tapes, reinforcing books, positive people. I make sure I'm around motivational people. I'll start to call people right away, and I'll say, "You know, I feel like I'm in a slump here. What have you been doing? What's going on?" I will know when to give up. For example, if I'm in a slump in writing, I'll just not write for a while. I'll let that go, and I'll move on to something else. I'll change what I'm doing, and I'll get back to something else. But I will recognize that I'm in a slump. I will not simply fight it. But one of the keys is make sure you're surrounded by real positive things, real motivational things, and other opportunities that you can continue on.
Okay. You're not just, as we've talked about, you're not just an expert in one thing, but of lots of different, very, very different things. I mean, it's not like, you know, just, I can't think of much that's more different than, like, medicine and dating. So... can you take us through the process of how you decide to do a new project? What's important to you? I mean, I know you've said just pick one.
Right.
But nonetheless, I mean, obviously, you do have criteria that you use. What do you find is important to you to make decisions and then to move forward or scrap the whole thing if it's not working?
Well, the basics obviously are the morals, the ethics. It's if it's something I'm interested in at all. If it's something I have no interest in, I'll pass on. And if it's something I'm uncomfortable, I'll pass on. But beyond that, I will set a very limited budget. Again, I'm a contrarian. I don't believe in setting big budgets for anything. And once I hit that budget, I'm out of the idea. If it's something that's even curious to me, I'll try it. 20 and 30 years later, I have pretty good instincts. But in the beginning, I did not have very good instincts. Maybe 1 out of 20 of my ideas worked. 19 of them failed, but I didn't spend a lot of time pondering the failures. I considered why they failed, but I didn't do the woe is me. Oh, I lost my $500 or something. Move on again. And I tried a lot of things. The more things you try, the sharper your instincts become. Until now, if I could probably reverse it, instead of 1 out of 20 succeeding, maybe 1 out of 20 fails right now. And one of the keys there is, I've really got an interest in this. It's a genuine interest. I'm doing something I really care about, and then the revenue is generated from there.
Do you have a budget that, I mean, how would you recommend people set their budget?
That's going to be tough for me to really pinpoint. I work on very, very low budget things, and I mean seriously, I may have a budget of $50 for something. right now, one of the things that's intriguing me is buying up websites, and my limit is $100. I will not pay more than $100 for a completed, up-and-running website. Now, you may think that's not possible to do, but Audrey, I think you know, you've gone to my website.
Sure.
I own, I think right now, 22 websites, and I have not paid more than $100 for those websites. And they're a lot of fun. Other people may say, oh, but I'm in the CAT scanning business. Well, you're not going to do much on $50 in the CAT scan business. Your budget has to be much higher. So it's going to be tough for me to pinpoint that one.
Okay. At some point, and we touched on this as well, but people need help. Everybody needs help in whatever it is they're doing. You've mentioned, you know, surrounding yourself with positive people. And how do you go about getting the help that you need from peers, experts, and so on when that happens?
I seek the people out that I need, and I try to involve them in my lives, in my business life. I make sure my business and my social and private life are very separate. But I'll involve them in my business life in one of several ways. I may get into some type of joint venture with them. I have never and probably never will get into a partnership. That's just not me. It may be fine for somebody else, but that's not me. So I may get into a joint venture with them. But one thing that I do want to do with my most valuable people is get them into a mastermind group. And that simply means a group of people who meet at some level. They'll meet on the phone, they'll meet in person, by email, or whatever, on some fairly regular schedule. And when these people get together, when I get together with my mastermind group, I will bring challenges that I have into the group, and I will say, you know, I'm stuck on this. Have you people ever done this? Or do you know where I can get this done? And almost invariably, the answer will come from one of the other people in the mastermind group. I'm not sure how people are successful without mastermind groups. This idea of being a one-man band, I think, is just a fantasy. There is no such thing as a one-man band. Everyone who is put up in front of the public as being a one-man band just is not. They've got a support group right there, and that's very, very important to my life.
That's great. I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit louder. I just got an email from somebody who said it would be helpful.
Sure.
I'd love you to also tell us about how you hired your assistant Denise. You use an incredibly simple, common sense process that I've never heard anybody else use, and it's just, it's such a great idea, and it's such a good way to get, you know, Denise, I know, phenomenal help for you, so could you share that?
Sure. Denise has been with me now going on 5 years, and when I count the blessings in my life, I count Denise in that list every single time. She is one of the most wonderful things that ever happened in my business life, in my social life, in my personal life. She is such a valued person to me. And the reason I promote her in that way is I do want to tell you how I hired her and how I got this diamond in my life. It was so simple. I ran a three-line ad, and it was literally three lines, in my local community paper. I live in a fairly small town, and I think the ad cost me $11. And it was a fairly general ad. I said, part-time assistant needed, and these weren't the exact words, by the way, but it said, part-time assistant needed, blue jeans environment, very flexible hours. I put the amount I was paying, an hourly rate I was paying at the time, interesting work combined with tedious work. And then I put a phone number. All I wanted to do was generate leads. Now, here's where my life became very easy. What most people do is they will have people call a phone line, and then they will have to go over the same scenario for 100 or 200 people. They will have to describe the job, and their life is tied up. Well, my phone number was directed to a voicemail, and what they got on the voicemail was me speaking for somewhere between 2 and 3 minutes, and I gave them lots of details about the job. And what I tried to do was downsell the job. I tried to get them to hang up and say, this job is not for me. So I told them a lot of good things about the job. I said, you're going to be dealing with some very interesting people. You're going to be dealing with media people, famous people. I know lots of celebrities, and they'll be calling, and you'll be meeting them. But there's also tedious parts to the job. You're going to have to get the mail out. You're going to have to do customer service work. You're going to have to do data entry work. And I told them some of the other things. I said, number one, you're going to be working in my home. If that's a problem for you, this probably isn't the job for you. I have 4 dogs. If you don't like dogs, this certainly isn't the job for you. I don't want someone who smokes. I usually have a pretty good temperament, but I've got my nasty days too, and you'll have to live with that. So I told them the good sides and the bad sides. And then at the end, I said, now remember, so so far, I have not spent 1 minute interviewing anyone, talking to anyone, nothing. This is all done automatically. At the end of the 3-minute message, I said, if you're still interested in the job, I want you to handwrite me a letter and tell me why I should hire you and send it to my post office box so they couldn't identify me or come knocking on my door. Again, I live in a small town, and I had, if I recall, 113 people respond to the voicemail. And for this small town, there's a lot of people to respond to that job. And out of 113, 12 people sent me handwritten letters. And as God be my witness, one woman sent me her letter on the back of one of those paper placemats from a diner. Another woman sent me a letter on one of those loose leaf things that you rip out of a book. They were immediately disqualified. Denise's letter immediately got her the job. So interviewing her took no more than 10 minutes. It was just a formality. I spent a total of 10 minutes getting in my life one of the most valuable people ever to become part of my life.
That's so great. I mean, and just to take this principle, because it doesn't only apply to hiring, although to save that much time in hiring is a wonderful thing. Certainly. But, I mean, what you did is you automated so much of that process, and by asking people to write you a handwritten letter, you learned so much about them that you really could make a very good decision very quickly.
That's right. A friend of mine had an apartment very recently, and apartments around this area are very scarce, and I told him, do the same thing. Just send them to a voicemail, describe the apartment, have them all show up at one time on one day, and within an hour, you've got your apartment rented and somebody qualified. And he did, and it was very successful.
That's great. Okay, moving on. So that's really a gem there, Paul. Moving on, what do you think is the single biggest mistake business owners are making during recessions that kills their profits, both short-term and long-term?
Oh, boy. You are talking right to my niche, right to one of the areas of my passion, and that is they do not use publicity, and this is the time, probably more than any other time, when you've got to use publicity. Because publicity is literally free. I mean, literally costs 0 cents, nothing. Because you are faxing out press releases to local media in your local area. Now, in typical recession times or hard economic times, sales will start to drop down. Revenue will start to drop down. So people get nervous and they start pulling in, and they don't want to spend as much on advertising. Why aren't you using publicity right now? It's free. This is probably the strongest tool you have in your toolbox right now, in your marketing toolbox, but you're either not using it or you don't know how to use it. And that's the mistake I see people making all the time.
We only have a few minutes left here, so I'm looking through all the remaining questions and seeing what should I ask you. Let's just talk for a moment about some specific things that people can do to ensure that their businesses will not only survive but thrive in the coming days, months, and years.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even some quick examples to apply what you're talking about.
Sure. If you were in business before this economic downturn and now you are still in business, you are getting a valuable lesson that you'll remember forever. You'll know exactly what economic downturn is like as a business owner, not just as a consumer. And you will know that probably you should have diversified. You should have diversified when times were good. You should not have put all the eggs in one basket there. For example, I have made an enormous amount of money buying what are called reprint rights. That is, I will pay X number of dollars, $1,000, $2,000, for the right to reprint, republish, or copy, reproduce, someone else's work, someone else's tapes or videotapes or manuals or software, and I can make as many copies as I would like. I have bought hundreds of these licenses in a whole variety of fields so that if one field starts to get soft for a while, I have another 50 products in a different field that are doing very well. So I've diversified those licenses, not simply in internet marketing, for example. I have licenses across the whole spectrum and in different fields. I have real estate products. I have all kinds of products. So diversity is a very important aspect of success during recession. Also, I'm going to mention again, give up the fear of the recession. A lot of this is just based on fear. Look at all the opportunities out there right now. all the opportunities just waiting for you to grab onto them.
How do you take advantage of these opportunities that actually, particularly to help you benefit from the recession?
Yeah. I've been in the stock market most of my life. I think I can't say for sure, but my guess is that I have made more money in the last 2 years in the stock market than I made in the previous 7 years in the bull market. It took no genius to make a lot of money in that bull market, but right now in the recession in the stock market, there is so much opportunity because there are bargains out there that are irresistible. Now, let's say that you are in a business and you're not getting as much money coming in. Well, where does this money come from to take the opportunities? That's where barter comes in big time, because the person that you're going to go make a deal with probably is having the same problem, and they want more opportunities. So you will say, listen, we're both kind of tight on money coming in. Why don't we barter here, and we will, for example, exchange rights to products. We've now diversified. Now let's start to increase our product line. Let's start to use each other's services. This is such a phenomenal period to start making money or to increase what you've got right there.
That's great. That's wonderful. Okay, I have to ask you this. What are turkey shoots? Why are they important to your success?
You heard my term, turkey shoots.
I did, and I love it.
Yeah. Every year, at least once a year, if not more often, I have what I call a turkey shoot. And most people have heard that the saying, if you surround yourself with turkeys, you're going to be a turkey. Surround yourself with eagles, and you soar. And that's what I do. I make sure I get rid of the turkeys in my life. And by turkeys, I mean vendors who are failing me. They're not producing on time. They're not producing the quality that I need. And they're individuals. They're people who are bad-mouthing what I'm doing, ridiculing, making fun of what I'm doing. They are people who have caused me problems. They are attorneys who did not get back to me quickly enough and did not do their job. I will get rid of these turkeys in a very, it sounds like it's pretty cold-hearted, but I'll pull the plug because I know that they are problems in my life and they're problems in my success, and I will replace them. There is no one in your life that can't be replaced. Now, I'm not talking about your children, husband and wife, of course. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people in your business life. Don't think you've got the greatest accountant out there. There are other accountants. If your accountant is screwing up, the accountant has got to go. It may be temporarily painful. I know that when I lost a duplicator, somebody was doing some of my duplication work, it was painful for a while, but I got another duplicator who turned out to be very, very reliable. So everybody should be having a turkey shoot. Get rid of those turkeys in your life. Replace them with the eagles and get right back up there and keep soaring.
Great. Okay, let's go to a couple wrap-up questions here. What gem of information have you learned, quote-unquote, the hard way that can help all of us?
Ooh, painful. Not only did I learn this the hard way, I learned it, unfortunately, the slow way. And that gem of information that I learned that I now can see so significantly affected, negatively affected my life and my success is the world does not revolve around me. Boy, was that tough. It hurt my ego. It hurt everything. But I was going through life and business, and a lot of people do that, thinking that the world revolved around me. I'm the customer. I'm the expert. I'm the guru. The world revolves around me. That was very painful to resolve that, and once I found some humility there, I found life a whole lot easier and success coming faster.
That's great. If you could have each person in the audience ask one question of themselves and that answer to that question would be a self-revelation, what would that question be?
This again may be something we've heard, but I'm wondering, so many things become trite, and people say it, but I wonder if they really understand what they just said. I do ask this often of my members, and at talks I ask this often, and the question is, why are you here? You're not here to sell long-distance service. You're not here to sell water filters or air purifiers. You're not here to do that. Why are you here? What's the purpose here? That's the cosmic question, of course. So I'm not asking for a quick, trite answer, but your life is not centered around selling long-distance service. Why are you doing that? To raise money. Okay, what are you going to do with the money? I want to, for example, in my case, I want to build this big dog shelter. Good. Now we can talk about selling your long-distance service. Now we have a focus on it. Now it makes a lot more sense. But if you're simply saying, I'm going to sell long-distance service because I'm going to change the world, you're dreaming.
Okay. What one thing would you like people to remember from this call?
It would have to be the way I start every class at the university where I teach, and I've started every class this way for 10 years, and I end it the same way, and I'd like to wrap up the same way. And it's something I mentioned earlier, but I want to drive this point home. And that is four words that, again, are on my wall. I live by them, and I know that they have made a huge impact in my life. And those four words are, there is no fear. There is no such thing as fear. Now, I'll clarify that right away. If someone is holding a gun to your head and they say, in 3 seconds, I'm going to shoot and kill you, that's not fear you're feeling. That's being a reasonable, normal human being. That's human survival. But when someone says, I'm afraid of speaking in public, you've now limited your opportunities. When they say, I'm afraid to fly, you've limited your travel opportunities. When they say, I'm afraid to try this business idea, there is no such thing as fear. You made that up. You are making that up, and because you believe in fear, you've limited your opportunities. There is no fear.
Wow. That's great. That's actually very, very inspiring. And I agree with you.
It's done so much in my life, and I remember, for example, when I was 17 and 18 and 19, afraid to talk to girls in the days that I was home alone. Because I made up this fear that there's something to be afraid of, to talk to these girls that I was interested in. And I was afraid to try things. Oh, please, stop. The world is passing you by because you're making up this fear.
Great. Well, Paul, this has been terrific. How can people get in touch with you? We can certainly put up some URLs and so on, but you know, what would you like if people would like to learn more about what you offer? Everything you offer is phenomenal. Your publicity course is absolutely the best. I've been a subscriber of your newsletter forever. Everybody should subscribe to your newsletter. It is just fabulous.
But well, thank you.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about what they might get?
Thank you. There are a few ways to get in touch with me or find out more about what I do and what's available. You mentioning my newsletter, I'll mention my free e-zine. It's absolutely free, no catch. You can subscribe to my publicity e-zine called Million Dollar Publicity Strategies by going to www.hartunian.com/e-zine, E-Z-I-N-E. My website, www.hartunian.com, H-A-R-T-U-N-I-A-N. Email address is, well, what would you guess my email address would be? I'll bet you it would be paul@hartunian.com.
That's really tricky.
And finally, my phone number, my office phone number is 973-509-5244. And that, by the way, is one little last example of focus. The domain name hartunian.com was taken when I wanted to get it in 1995. Every single week, every single Friday, for 3 years, I would go in and search the domain name, and finally, I couldn't believe it when I saw it, it popped up and said, this domain is available for $13.50. Yeehaw.
Yeah, we got Lanford.com. It's really cool. Have your own name. That's wonderful. We will put all of that up onto the site. Paul also, at his site, offers the newsletter for, the newsletter normally costs, what does it cost,
$197 a year.
$197 a year, and you can get 6 months for $7?
That, unfortunately, isn't available anymore.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I've at least temporarily suspended that because I'm evaluating the results.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much, and this has been absolutely terrific, and I look forward to everybody applying what you learned here today. This really was a lot of the secrets of the universe.
Audrey, I thank you so much, and they truly are. They've worked for me and so many other people. We are living proof. I have got the life that I want and I've always dreamed about, and it's because of exactly what we talked about on this phone call.
That's great.
Thank you, Audrey.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.